Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to all saints, Jude 3. The culture we are at war with, the culture of chaos, the culture of deception, the culture of lies, the culture of falsehoods, and the culture of death. This is what entertains us. This is what we hear about when we turn on the radio, when we turn on the TV, when we tune into a podcast, when we pick up a newspaper, and when we gather at the restaurant for coffee and a bite to eat. There's no escaping that culture, the one that we live in. Even when we gather as the church, we listen as the watchmen call out and the shepherds try to direct their flocks towards the pen of the Lord, towards truth and the safety within, knowing and living it. To deny what is actually happening today, to deny the perverse, to deny the falsehoods, to deny protections to the weak and the vulnerable, it is to deny life and embrace death. To you who deny these things and yet claim to follow Christ, you deny his lordship and his word. You deny him, for he is truth, and in that denial, the truth is not in you. You may deny that, but you may not deny the words of the Lord. On that day, when he says, I never knew you. To you I pray that salvation's message, the message that you heard, the message that you have watered down in your hearts, may be restored through revelation by the Holy Spirit and move you to tears as you see what is being done to the youngest and the weakest and the most vulnerable amongst us. I pray that you would seek the wisdom of the Lord, that you would pray for the gift of discernment and come to know a refreshing of the truth of Jesus, and that he becomes your life, your daily walk, your every waking moment, Lord, and that you would recognize and come to know him as the Christ of the Bible, God, the Father's Christ, not a man's social justice warrior. Repent, the watchman calls out. Come, turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your wicked ways. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, Christian. Put on the helmet of salvation. Arm yourself with the shield of faith and cover yourself with the breastplate of righteousness and buckle on the belt of truth. Invite Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, into the depths of your very being and cleanse yourself of the falsehoods, the blood, and the deception that you have followed and are being led by in your denying of the truth in this culture. Listen, as death travels the city streets and country roads, see it as it walks boldly down the street. Listen as it yells from the rooftops and growls from the belly of the earth, and as it grabs and drags away the children. Can you see their tears? Do you witness their confusion? Can you hear them as they whimper in the night, swallowed by the darkness? And all in the name of power, all in the collecting of pennies. These children are buried and have neither the strength nor the wisdom to find a way out of the pit they are being cast into. They have not the wisdom to back away from the edge of the abyss. The children, they know not what they do. But you do. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write you about the salvation we share, I find that I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. From Jude, verses 3 through 6. We all know of people who come forward with big and grandiose ideas, and when it is time to get into the details, they have none to show. They have no way of explaining what it is that they want to do or what the results that they hope to achieve and what problems may arise through the process and even because of it. We know them personally, but we also watch them every day as they are those who are leaders and teachers and those who have been set apart to proclaim the word of God. and as they fall prey to their own thinking, their own pictures of how things should be, and they forget who they are and in whose image they are created, and with rose-colored glasses on, they believe that what they are doing is what they are called to do, and in a sense, they are right. They are serving the one they have chosen to follow. And of them it can be said they follow their father, the devil, the father of lies and of deception. Look at what has stepped through the door of rebellion. Every perverse thing that is ungodly in thought, action, and deed. Sin. Look at the depth of the sin that pours out of the hearts of men and women in these days. Look at the ways that they practice. Look at the things that they defend. Look at the lies that they have made into truths. Look at the faces of those who have been silent to the things of this world and who stuff their ears with cotton to not have to hear the cries of the vulnerable, and those who wear rose-colored glasses not to have to believe what they are seeing. If you take for granted your salvation, if you do not defend the faith that has been entrusted to you, if you are deceiving yourself into believing that you can serve the ways of man and the ways of God, then you need to step back and you need to consider what your priorities in the life you live are. You cannot be silent about those teachings that you know are not true. And you should not let the world influence your understanding of God's word. I've shared many times over the years that if the only time you spend with God is on a Sunday morning at a worship service, then you've not prepared to meet him when you go. You will not focus on his word when you are there. You will be anxious to spend the remainder of the day doing what you want to do, and so your heart will not enter into worship, and your communion with God will not know the fullness of that moment. God once spoke to the Israelites, "Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach," from Deuteronomy 30 and 11. Within us lies the knowledge of God in its most basic form. His laws are written on our hearts. And he says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction," Deuteronomy 30 and 16. You have a choice to make. The choice is yours and yours alone. Will you follow or will you turn your back? And he continues, "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed." Deuteronomy 30, 17 and 18. This is the confirmation that you must make a choice. You cannot serve two masters. And he says, excuse me, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20b. Laid out before you in plain sight are the things that are right and those that are wrong. God's laws are written on our hearts even before we come to know him as Savior and our Lord. His ways are in us, but we rebel against them. We rebel against the things of God, and we follow the path of least resistance, and where we hope to find the most pleasure and gain. And we seek to avoid all suffering, even though we, like Jesus, are called to suffer. And we want to be accepted as we are, which God will do in that moment. But God will not leave us where he finds us. He seeks to draw us into the light and into a life of abundance, of love, and of hope. These things are nowhere to be found in death. In death, there is pain that was refused on the earth. There are cries of anguish for choices made that, when reflecting back, the depravity of taking that option brings shame and anger. And in death, there is no one to hear, no one to comfort. There is only one who can deliver you from death, and his name is Jesus Christ. These are the realities of life and death, of heaven and hell, of submission and obedience, of rebellion and falling away. Not a one will have an excuse on the day of judgment. All will be set and written in the scrolls. Where will you find your name written? What will be the record of your journey on this earth? Will it be that you spoke truth? That you defended truth? that you live truth, or will you be found outside the gates of the city because you did not hold on to the truth that was entrusted to you, but you rebelled against it? Choose this day, life or death, blessings or curses, Jesus or the world. You can't have both. You will love one and hate the other. And so I have a question for you to close with. And I would ask that you would pray about it, that you would sit back and that you would reflect about it, that you would look about your life. And you would ask, am I a disciple or am I a player? Choose this day whom you will serve.